trials you go through all the time. Do you ever look around when you go through the turnstile and see what number you were? The number is right on the back side of it. If you want to know what number you were going through there, just go through the turnstile. You can see what number you were going, you know. Yeah, I know, I'm weird. But anyhow, you know, you can see what number you were as you go through. But there's also the full turnstiles that are bar, 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 bar. And it's kind of like you go through, and you ever been through anything like that? And you walk through, and it circles you around, and you come out through, and you don't have a lot of room. And that's the picture that's being presented by the Savior here. It's pretty obvious. This is the way you go. This is where you go through. This is the off-ramp. Here's the turnstile. And it's a specific command. As he's talking to the people at this point, as he's adding in conclusion, he says, enter, enter. And we got a specific command, but we find it's a specific command with a specific consequences. Specific consequences, okay? What's it say here? We've got destruction in verse 13, and we have life in verse 14. Kind of like Moses saying, do you want death or life? And Jesus steps back with this specific command, and he says in conclusion, now that you've heard everything I had to say, here's what you need to do, enter. And where do you enter? You enter the narrow. Why do you enter the narrow? Here's consequences. The narrow also is difficult, but it leads to life. The broad is easy, but it leads to destruction. I shared with you when my wife is watching some of these videos, she says, I'll never be able to hike a 14,000 foot mountain peak. So she says, I'm going to sit here and watch this guy do it. And she likes to see the mountain peaks in Colorado. And she showed me some of the hikes that this guy has done. And she goes, what do you think of this little path that he's walking on right now? I said, whoa. Kind of one of those things you look at and kind of makes your toes curl just a little bit, thinking, I got to hang on to the side of the mountain and onto the rocks a little bit. Narrow. There are some spots that are very, very narrow, and the precipice that drops off and what runs up on the other side. And the Lord here is talking to these people, and he says, I'm going to share something with you. This is not the easiest way to go. It's not the easiest way to go. But when you get to the peak, there's life. And everybody else is on this wide path, and they're moving in this direction, and they think religiously, if everybody's doing it, then it must be okay. It must be the right way. And you know what we find in regards to that? We're seeing that really in America today and around the world. What do we do nowadays if we come up against something we don't agree with? We pass legislation, and then it must be okay. You've heard us talk the past few weeks about the abortion bills that are being considered in the state of New York and in the state now of Virginia. And how terrible it is to think that a baby can be delivered and be laying there alive while the parents discuss what they want to do with the child, and then they can decide either to keep the child or to terminate the child. And we step back and we think, wow, what a choice. There is no choice here. But our world has come to a point where they say if we pass legislation, now we can do it. Now we can do it. And we've watched that unfold in our land, and we watch it unfold around the world, but that's where we find ourselves nowadays. The broad way says, here's what everybody's saying, and if everybody says, the majority says, this is what we believe, does that make it right? No, it doesn't, and we know that. How many times have we told our kids, I remember using this as a dad growing, Well, mom, dad, you know, everybody's doing it. I said, if everybody's jumping off the Mackinac Bridge, you're going to do the same thing? Well, no. I said, it doesn't mean because everybody's doing it, it's the right thing. And so we try to legislate in America and say everybody believes this way, and so we'll pass some legislation, and since we pass the legislation, that makes it right. And Jesus said, there are many people who do that and who believe that, but the end is destruction. And that's where many are. And he says, there be few that find this narrow way. Somebody said, is there going to be a lot more people in hell than there are in heaven? By what Jesus said, yes. By what Jesus said, yes. And that's hard. That's hard. Because most people want to believe that everybody's going to go to heaven someday. And everybody's going to be there someday. And if I was being truthful with you, I'd rather say that. But that's not what Jesus said. And the majority. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation, I think it's around chapter 9 or 10, we find that during the time of the tribulation, there's a huge gathering and a huge revival. It seems like in the midst of the tribulation period, people realize God is the answer. No matter what we have to go through, they will turn to God. But not right now. Not right now. And so as we look at this and we see what's happening here, and we see Jesus coming to a conclusion with what's being said, and he says there's these two ways, and here's these two gates, and here's these two groups of people. He doesn't mince words with this. He says, here's the way you need to go. Here's the command. Enter at this gate right here. I put a big idea behind it because I thought, you know, each one of these does have a big idea. And what's the big idea? And I'm using it in the vernacular, but I think it adds a lot to what's going on. And what did Jesus say here is this: it's my way or the highway. Okay? It's my way or the highway. It's broad. It's wide. And most everybody seems to be going that way. And Jesus says, but wait a minute. What did I just teach you? I taught you to love your enemies. I taught you not to have anger in your hearts. I taught you to be humble. And you know, that's not what a lot of people do, but Jesus is telling the people at this moment, at the conclusion of this message, in our vernacular today, he's saying this: it's my way or the highway. I think we got it. I think we understand. And what he's saying at this point is not something he's saying to those people at that time for that specific moment. He's saying that for we people at this time for our moment. It's either Jesus or it's what everybody else is doing. And so as we stop and see this first concluding thought, begins with a command, and he lays it out and he says, okay, there's only one of two things to do. I'm going to tell you what the right answer is. Do you want it or not? And you know, you're like us. You're like me up here. You know, I'm going to choose Snoopy just because I want to do something different on my multiple choice question. Where Jesus says, here's the right answer. Put down the right answer. Here's the right gate. Go through the right gate. Come on, right here. Go there. I don't know. And what's he do? There's our choice. And so he takes this message and he begins to draw it to conclusion, but as he draws it to a conclusion, he gets very, very pointed about what he's got to say. So we go into the next thought here. And the next thought here in verse number 15 and down through verse number 20 is his next thought here. And we'll do this today and that'll be it for this week. But he says this: beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, you see this a lot on the internet if you want to look at it here, and I think this is what, you know, kind of there's a picture there, all right? That's supposed to be a wolf in the middle of those sheep, okay, with wool on. Now, some people interpret that verse by saying that the clothing of a prophet was wool, and therefore the prophet comes in with wool clothing on, and therefore he turns around and he enters into the flock. I think that could be okay, but I think there's enough in regards to the scripture that he uses the God also himself uses the concept of wolves and tearing the flock and destroying people, that I think this is also a pretty good metaphor. It's a good picture that the Lord is putting here at this point. So as you think about that for a moment, beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And he says that a couple times here. And then he says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? No, they don't gather grapes from thorn bushes. Or do they get figs from thistles? No, they don't get figs from thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth good evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore? Judge not that ye be not judged. But we're making a judgment here. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. We got to judge fruit. We got to judge fruit. I saw this past week a picture on the internet, but actually it was through a Facebook picture, of a ghost apple. Okay? And if you saw the ghost apples or not. Then there's regular apples that are out there. You know, I was thinking of that this morning. I was thinking I'd have a frisky apple and a frisky ghost apple. Well, are you going to judge the fruit? Well, we're called to judge. We're called to make a discernment where that's real fruit or no, ghost apples or real apples? Real apples, yeah. Okay, is it bruised? Is it not bruised? Okay, is this, you know. And we start to do that here, and that's what he's saying here. And as we look at this, he knew, the Jews themselves knew about false prophets. Jeremiah said in the false prophets in Jeremiah 6, he says, they say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Okay, there could be a day when the churches across America start to say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, we're not talking about world peace. We're talking about national peace. I think is a good thought, too. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Ezekiel talked about them and the wolves tearing their prey and shedding the blood. And he drew this picture of that's what's happening in the nation of Israel between the leadership and the people at that time. Zephaniah talked about the evening wolves coming and destroying the flock. And so when Jesus begins to use this illustration here and draws this word picture here, it's not something new to the Jewish mind. It's something they were well aware of. I remember looking, watching a TV show one night in regards to that, where these guys were out there and they had sheep flocks around, and the wolves were coming and circling around. They're sitting out there with their guns and trying to take them out and stuff like that. You know, how the wolves were trying to get into the flock and destroy the flock and tear up the flock. And so what happens here is, as Jesus now is talking here again with this picture, and as he's talking about this picture here, and we see this warning number two that he talks to the people about, he starts out, there is a warning. And the warning is, again, begins with a command. It says, beware, beware. It means literally, hold your mind back from. Hold your mind back from. Well, what do we have to hold our minds back from? Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. Now, this was something that even the early church warned their people about. I was doing a little bit of reading this week and a little bit of study here, and there's a document, an ancient document, is actually like a commentary on how to run the church. And it's called the Didache or the Didache. That's how it's pronounced. But in there, they make some rules about false prophets. And they say the true prophet should be held in highest honor. So this was written within the first century, okay? Some say right around 50 AD. This Didache came out, said to the people, here's what you got to be careful of. Here's what we want to tell you about false prophets. Number one, honor the prophet, But if they come into your home or into your area, they got 3 days. I mean, what, 3 days? They have 3 days. If they come into your town and a prophet comes into your town and says, I'm a prophet of God, I've got a message of God, he says they've got 3 days. If they stay longer than 3 days, they're a false prophet. And the writing behind that and the thought behind that was this. If they're a prophet of God, then they got to keep moving. Their message has to be shared, not just that town and that home, but it's got to be shared with the next town, in the next town, in the next town, in the next town. And so even in the first century, in some of the writings of the first century, they said, there's a warning here, and we want to tell you this warning. If he comes into your town and he stays more than 3 days, he's a false prophet. Number two, they would say this, if he comes into your town, he stays more than 3 days, and he asks for money, he's a false prophet. Ever watch TV preachers and asking for money? There's nothing new under the sun. It's just broadcasted further, that's all. And the warning here in regards to this was these false prophets, these that are coming into the land, you have to be careful of them. Now, in false prophets, can I give you something? I didn't put this in your notes, but just some thoughts here very quickly. Number one, in false prophets in Scripture, we find, number one, there are those who were called heretics. What's a heretic? A heretic is a person who takes a truth of the Word of God and completely twists it. Some of you might be old enough to remember. Do you remember a preacher in America? His name was Reverend Ike. Some of you don't. I do. I remember. It's back in the early 70s. Reverend Ike. And Reverend Ike used to stop, and he would take the concept of the idea of the love of money is the root of all evil. And he would turn that around. He says, to be without money is the root of all evil. And Reverend Ike was a guy who was always out there, send me your five, you'll get 10 back. You know, send me your 100, you get 1,000 back. He was that kind of a person. And instead of taking the love of money as being the root of all evil, he says that just the opposite here is to be without money is the root of all evil. He's a heretic. He took the scripture, twisted it completely. Heretic. The second category that we find in scripture is the apostate. And what was the apostate? The apostate was the person who had been trained with the truth of scripture, grew up with the truths of Scripture, had been living the truth of Scripture, and all of a sudden decided one day to turn the back and go just the opposite direction and walk completely away from what had been taught, the apostate. This is a part of the idea of a false teacher, a heretic, or an apostate. And the third category that we find ourselves here is deception. Those who are deceivers. And it seems like that's what we're finding here, because they're coming in looking like sheep. Underneath their ravening wolves, they come in looking like a preacher or a pastor or a shepherd of a flock, but inside their hearts, they're tearing it up. And this whole thought of the imposter here is the idea of a person who's deceptive and a deceiver. And we find those three categories in the New Testament. Those who take the scriptures and twist it completely. Guess what? We find the same thing today. Then there are those who used to be here and they turn around and they walk completely away from what they had been trained, what they had been taught, what they were teaching over the years. And they turn around, walk completely away from them, said, you know what? I was wrong. And then there are those who exploit and they deceive. And as Jesus was here, he was saying at this point, he says, you know, this is what I'm fearful of. There are those who are going to come in to your midst and they're going to deceive. And how many people are deceived even today? There's a warning. Number two, there's a warning involving watching. A warning involving watching. What do I mean by that? Beware, there's your warning, of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They're deceptive. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. The idea of knowing is a knowledge of them, who they are, what they're up to, and what are you doing. How do you get to know them? You've got to watch them. Now, what are we watching? What are we looking for? What are we trying to see here? And I think it's interesting for us to kind of keep that in mind. Let's go and take a couple of thoughts here in regards to that, a couple shots at it. Number one, we're watching their conduct. We're watching their conduct. If you want to turn in your Bible, you can. If you just want to follow along, I put it up here today because of what Peter wrote, and Jude wrote some of the same things. There's a warning involving watching and conduct. In 2 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse number 1, we find this. Many will follow their evil teachings, talking about who? False prophets, and shameful immorality. Now you can see I copied out the NLT. A lot of you have NLT Bibles. My father-in-law has been giving them out. I believe the translation is an accurate translation. It's very, very readable. The way it interprets this portions of Scripture is very, very bold. And what he says and what the NLT translates in regards to what Peter has to say is this. These false prophets, these false teachers, will follow their shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. Wow. False teachers and immorality is what Peter says. Got a problem there. You know what? The Church of America today has a problem. We have to deal with it. But as you stop and you see what's happening, these false teachers, they condone it. They say it's okay. It's okay. It's all good. And then they turn around and they try to come up with clever schemes to get your money, is what Peter was saying. He goes on. And he says, these false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand. And like animals, they will be destroyed. Wow. NLT gets pretty bold in regards to how they put it. If you look at the King James, it's similar. It really is. It's couched a little bit more in how it's read and how it's done. But Peter is writing this here from the NLT. You see it here. They love to indulge in all pleasures in broad daylight. In evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. They delight in deception, even as they do with you. Deception, there it is again. This deception is taking place here. And as Peter is writing this, and he's talking about these people, and he's saying, here's their conduct. And they eat with you at your fellowship. They commit adultery with their eyes, and their desire for sin is never satisfied. They lure unstable people into sin, and they are well trained in greed. Again, think about that. And some of these are out there that are always pushing for money, and they want money, and they want this, and you do this, and God will bless you with it. And you know what? Peter gets pretty bold, and we watch their conduct. We watch their conduct. We remember some of the tragic stories of the immorality that's happened in the church across America, and the Bakers and Swigert and people like that. And today, there's more and more guys that are falling because of the immorality within the church. I've heard stories recently that just kind of, I go, wow. What they're finding in a lot of churches today, and I don't say that because of what we have anything here, the worship teams are having a struggle with immorality. Why? Because music is emotional. And people get together and the emotions are running. And as the appeal to the emotion, we have find people that are there struggling, and the worship teams and churches are having struggles with immorality. Beware of false prophets. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting, with an appeal to twisted sexual desires. They lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. That's false teachers. And the Lord is saying, beware, command of false teachers. By their fruit. What fruit? What are we looking at? We're looking at their conduct. We're looking at their conduct. Number two, we look at their character. We look at their character. What kind of character do they have? Do they have a beatitude attitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do we find that happening in their lives? Is this, there's a humility of spirit and a quietness and a humbleness of spirit? Or is this, my way or the highway? Here we go. How about Galatians in 5 and verse 22? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. We say their conduct looks to be okay on the outside. What about their character? What do you sense about their character? What fruit do you sense in their character? Is there a humbleness and a quietness and a meekness and a gentleness and a character of self-control? Or is it kind of like, And now they take the Jesus approach, my way or the highway. Jesus' approach is okay. Theirs isn't. And there's a character quality that we're looking at here. A character quality. But also, there's their creed. Their creed. What are they saying? What are they saying? What are they teaching about the things of God? We've been listening to John Bunyan. I was going to say Paul Bunyan. No, John Bunyan. Okay. And in regards to Pilgrim's Progress in Sunday school. But there was something about his autobiography I found this week that I thought, wow, that is crazy. When he accepted Christ as his Savior, it said for 18 months he couldn't get past the wickedness of his sin. It so pressed him down. He realized he had sinned against a holy God, and for 18 months he struggled with this thing of, wow, how wicked am I? How wicked could I be? Do we sense that anymore today? In regards to the evil that's out there and how we wrong a holy God? I found it to be very, very interesting that he wrote that and said that about himself. But the key, I think, behind this is it's not so much what they do say. It's more about today what they don't say. Don't say. It's very, very easy for me to stand up here and tell you that Jesus loves you. He died for you. You just accept him as your Savior. And life can be great and life can be grand. But Jesus said the way that I tell you to go is difficult. Well, I can stop and say, you know, just choose Jesus and life will be good. Never say a word about life being difficult. That would make me a false teacher. I can stop and say, you know what? He wants to bless you. He wants to take you and give you all the good things that you can desire. And he does do that. But there are times that the Lord Jesus Christ said, if I suffer, so will you. And I could tell you, well, you know what, just get the good and don't worry about that. That suffering thing? No. And what the problem is here is the fact that when we watch fruit, sometimes we have to be discerning enough to understand and listen and say, what aren't they saying? What aren't they saying? And there's preachers out there today, man, they've got huge things going on out there. And what they're not saying is, life could be a struggle. Nah, Jesus wants to bless you. The word faith is right in your tongues, and you just have to claim it, name it and claim it, and it's going to all be blessing for you. Ah, but my mom, she's dying of cancer. Ah, you didn't claim it hard enough. No, and sometimes it's what they say or maybe what they don't say that we have to be aware of. And that's how we examine fruit. That's how we examine fruit. And as we find here, his disciples came to him and said, tell us, Jesus saying, when are these things going to happen? When is your return and the end of the world? As they came, and Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many. The Lord's telling his disciples in Matthew 24, he says, before I come back, I'm going to share something with you. There's going to be a lot of false teachers out there. A lot of false teachers. How many remember the story of Jim Jones, Guyana, and all those people that drank the poison Kool-Aid? I was reading the other day and I saw something about him and realizing that his number two man was a guy who went to a church just like this, involved with the same fellowship that we're involved with, the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. His people that were involved with him were people who were pastors' kids in his leadership. Pastors' kids. A few got away. Most of them followed him to the death. And what do we find out about Jim Jones? We found out about Jim Jones that so many of the girls and the women that came into that compound, he had sexual relations with them to make them feel like they're obligated to be a part of that now. We remember that. We remember finding 1,000 bodies in the land of Guyana. There's a young guy out there, his name's Mark Driscoll. Had a pastor up in Washington State. And he had a blog out there, and everybody's wondering what in the world's going on. And in his blog, he was making all kinds of sexual remarks that were crude, and they were not good at all. They weren't pure at all. And the church found out finally, and they exposed him of this. And he was taking and using monies and trying to be a number one bestseller in America. And he used missions monies to buy his books, so by the ratings on the buying scale, it would show him to be a top 10 seller, so he could get on and make the circuit. And they found out he was just using money. But then all the sexual perversion that he wrote about in his blog. Today he's in Arizona. He's trying to start another church. He's part of what's called the Emergent Church. Sun Yun Moon. Remember Sun Yun Moon? And he was coming out of Korea. He claimed to be a Messiah. Bob Marley. Rastafarianism. Marley thought he was a Messiah. Coming out of Africa. What about the Catholic Church? What's happening right now with the priests and the children? And now the exposure of the priests and the nuns. False teachers. False teachers. What did Peter say? Sexual immorality. Twisted sexuality and twisted perversion. And Jesus is here telling these people, please, 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 be careful. Be careful. And as we stop and we see what's taking place here, and he's ending up the message here and seeing what's happening and taking place here, what do we find here? There's a warning involving watching, revealing their ways. There's a warning involving watching, revealing their ways. You watch their conduct, you watch their character, you watch and listen to their creed, and you'll know their fruit. You'll know their fruit. And as we see this happening, Jesus is here at this point, and he's saying this to these people. He says, please, here we go. You heard my teaching. Now, warning, choice. Good fruit, bad fruit. By their fruit, you will know them, good or bad. That means you have to watch, and you have to discern and ascertain. And sometimes you've got to ask yourself, what is it that they're not saying? What is it that I haven't heard in their preaching? I can name a preacher here today, and many people would say, well, what's wrong with him? Listen to what he hasn't said. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But he's in Houston, Texas. Listen to what he hasn't said. And that will reveal part of who he is, of what he, who he is. And so what's happening here? What's happening here? What's the big idea? Appearances are deceiving. Appearances are deceiving. Here's Jesus there at this point talking to these people, and who's around? The scribes and the Pharisees. Except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Whoa, there he stands. And exceeds that, you'll no way get into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is saying at this point, see that guy? Appearances are deceiving. Appearances are deceiving. Boy, when I preach stuff like this, it makes me nervous. Why? Because I'm here in front of you. And I don't ever want that to be the case. Ever. And yet Jesus warns the people at that point. And he says, appearances are deceiving. Please, please, please be careful. And so as we stop and we think about what Jesus said at this time, and we think about the world in which we live in this day, Jesus said, it's my way or the highway. Narrow way, broad way. Jesus says, wolves in sheep's clothing, or me? Or me? Be careful. Father, we come before you this day and we just ask that you help us to be discerning. Jesus takes the teaching here and he lays it out with answers, with very few choices, and he points us in the right direction, and yet, Lord, sometimes we still choose to go the wrong way. Oh, Father, help us. Lord, give us a heart's desire to want to please you, to follow after you, to do that which is right. And Father, I pray in our own hearts and our lives that as we think of the world in which we find ourselves today and the world in which we live, that we will look like Jesus, that we will be conformed to the image of your Son. Father, if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know you yet as their personal Savior, this is not a message that makes it say, this is good, this is easy, just do it. It's a message that's real. And the realness is that sometimes it could be difficult. It could be difficult. And yet, Father, may we understand a love that you have for us. And understanding that love that you have for us, may we stop and say the sacrifice is worth it if we be called to follow that way. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've given us. For the thoughts of eternal life, because you have been raised from the dead, means life will go on forever. And that, Father, we will follow after you and after your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, as believers this morning, I ask this question for all of us. And Lord, the question is, how much do we desire of you? May we desire more of you each and every day. Thank you, Father, for the clarity and the plainness of the Word of God so that we might know and follow truth. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.